Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. Today we continue our series on the sexual self-destruction of our society, a topic I dealt with many years ago when I was senior pastor of a church. And yet the decline in morality and the now new issue of same-sex marriage in our state precipitates this question: what should we be doing to respond to this, and are we well informed enough to do so? Our guest today is Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who wrote a wonderful book entitled The Truth About Same-Sex Marriage, and in that book, he deals with the subject of the church must speak. Erwin, good to hear your voice this morning. Welcome to our program.
So glad to be with you today, Bruce.
The two questions I have for you: has the church faithfully to God dealt with this issue in the past generation or so?
No, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I think as a pastor, I can look at this through the eyes of a pastor. Churches are really conflicted because on the one hand, we know that homosexuality is condemned in the Bible, and furthermore, all of the research shows that it is not a healthy lifestyle, to say the least, and has other repercussions. But at the same time, the church is anxious to be welcoming to all sinners, and homosexuals included. And so what the church oftentimes struggles with is this: how can we have a message that is redemptive and then at the same time be speaking against homosexuality? Now, I personally think that we have to do that, but the church itself is very reticent to do that. And I would like to say that sometimes I think it has been done very poorly. And I've told pastors that it's very important. If you simply get up and rail against homosexuality as if it's the only sin, the homosexuals in your congregation, and I'm sure most congregations have them, I know for sure we have some at Moody Church, they are only going to be driven away. They are not going to be helped by a strong message of judgment unless that message is also coupled with a great deal of understanding, compassion, and grace. You know, I preached on same-sex marriage some time ago at Moody Church. It's a couple of years ago now. I've preached two messages on it. And I might say that each time the members of the church gave me a standing ovation. I wasn't asking for that. But even some of those who struggled with homosexuality in the congregation came to me later and said that even though they maybe didn't agree or they were struggling with the various issues, still they appreciated the fact, and I give God the glory for this, Bruce, they appreciated the fact that I was speaking with a great deal of compassion. I was recognizing that homosexuality isn't the only sin in the church, obviously, because you have adulterers, you have those who are addicted to pornography, you have those who are addicted to gambling. So if it is done correctly, I think that as a pastor you can do two things. You can inform the congregation, you can warn them, you can be thoroughly biblical, and at the same time, you can also be very redemptive.
Well, Erwin, may I ask a question? When Jesus came, he came, and the Bible says he was full of grace and truth. And it seems to me you exemplify the tension that we sometimes feel between grace and truth. But my impression is that the church has failed because in some respects they've either erred on the side of truth or they've erred on the side of grace. But what I see happening today is churches are caving in to homosexual pressure and not speaking up on the truth. Is that a fair assessment?
It is a very fair, and I'll tell you why. The homosexuals in 1980, they had a problem on their hands. It was a PR problem. And the question was, we are oftentimes associated with AIDS, which, you know, was discovered at that time. How do we refurbish our image? And two of them wrote a book in which they basically said that they had read Hitler's Mein Kampf and got his idea of propaganda, because he said that even heaven can be made to appear like hell and hell like heaven with the right use of propaganda. So what they did is they outlined a strategy to change American attitudes. And you and I know that they have been wildly successful. And one of the things that they want to do is to create a cultural stream that is so powerful that nobody has the nerve to speak against it. So many churches, they're intimidated. The minute you do, you may have threats. You may have marches, demonstrations at Moody Church. We've had that also at Moody Church, I'm saying, but perhaps any church. And so what happens is pastors are so intimidated that they prefer to simply err on the love side and say nothing about it and want to ignore the issue.
Well, that sounds to me like a compromise that we're going to have to be accountable for. What would you suggest that you would give advice to pastors to be thinking about in the days ahead? Because according to Dr. Dobson, whom we hope to interview sometime in this series, the Rubicon has been passed. The point of no return has been made. In other words, now that we're approving same-sex marriage in our state, for example, New York, and in some other states, and the Defense of Marriage Act is being put aside by our president, the question is, how far will this go? And it seems to me the pressure is going to build even higher. So what counsel do you give to us so that we can remain faithful to God and still fulfill this blend of grace and truth?
Well, you know, one of the things is we cannot give in to the tsunami that is on our way, on its way. Absolutely. I agree with Dr. Dobson. We are going over the cliff. And the question is whether or not the church is going to cave in. Hate speech, of course, is going to become a part of this. Slander is going to play a big role where churches are slandered as being hateful places. And the question is, are we going to stand true or aren't we? I hate to say it, but much, I think, of the evangelical community is going to cave in because the pressure is just so overwhelming. And let us understand something. We cannot in America live with two different definitions of marriage. Recently, I hope I have time to just say quickly, here you have two lesbians living together. One is artificially inseminated. She has a child, a daughter. They break up. The woman who has the child gets saved. She becomes a Christian. And through a legal dispute, the judge gave custody to the other woman, arguing that a child brought up in a home where the Bible is believed and where homosexuality is believed to be sin, it's detrimental to the child. So what we are seeing in our courts, in matters of law, is this tsunami. So here's the bottom line. The church simply cannot cave in on this issue. I encourage all pastors who are listening to become informed, to make sure that their congregations have access to excellent literature, and there's a lot of it out there, that is going to help them, that at the same time we have a loving witness to people in our community, such as homosexuals and others, but at the same time recognize we are not doing them a favor by approving of their lifestyle. You know, if someone were backing over a cliff and they couldn't see